from Ranchita, California, at the top of Montezuma Grade. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, we have noticed a fundamental flaw in the evolution of gravel bikes. As they develop, are they actually on a trajectory to extinction?
We've also got a $30,000 steel condor. We bid farewell to a trailblazer, the most powerful woman in cycling.
Plus, an update on Dan's fundraising, which is going really well.
Or from my perspective, really badly, I would say. This week in the world of cycling, we learn that if you build it, they will come. In Paris, at least.
Yes, Momentum Mag reports that the number of people cycling in the French capital has doubled in a year, which is fantastic, isn't it? Because it's showing what can be done with the right political will and investment. As well as making the city a nicer place to be, apparently air quality has improved by 40%.
We also learned this week that Trek are moving to low-emission aluminium to help improve their environmental impact. Their latest industry-leading sustainability report shows how they're reducing emissions on their most popular aluminium bikes by up to 70% by sourcing the material from suppliers who make it using renewable energy.
Yeah, hats off to Trek and Paris this week.
Yeah, they're both
from us
well.
At GCN. Right. Now, finally this week, we are theorising that the gravel bike is facing an existential crisis from itself.
This is what Si brought to the coffee machine chat earlier on this morning.
I did, yeah.
It? Having been mulling this issue in his own mind through yesterday evening.
Yeah, like I always said, I am the guy to invite to a party if you want quality bants. But seriously though, I do feel like this is an important question.
Important, is it?
Okay, maybe not important. I think it's an interesting question.
Is it really interesting?
Well, all right, you lot can decide, okay? So I was pottering around in my shed yesterday and I was fettling with my cyclocross bike and my gravel bike that I've got at home in a minute. And it got me thinking, right, how these bikes have evolved over the last 10 years or so and crucially, where that evolution is going.
Okay.
Yes, all right. So I've been riding a similar off-road route since I retired as a pro in 2012. And I basically ride it every week with my mates, okay? Mm. In the early days, did it on a cyclocross bike with rim brakes, 32mm wide tyres. I then got 35mm wide tyres, yeah, which felt amazing. Still riding the same stuff, but on wider tyres. Then over the years, my bikes have evolved, right? So disc brakes now, wider rims, and crucially, even wider tyres. So I'm now up to 40s on it. But again, I'm still riding the same stuff.
Does it feel better?
It
now?
Does. 100% it feels better.
And is it more fun?
No.
Ooh.
I don't. Well, it's not more fun. It's the same amount of fun I've always had. But do you know what I mean? So this is the thing, right? So the evolution isn't going to stop where I am now. There are some of my mates who are now riding 45mm tyres. Yeah. Amazing, and we know they perform better as well, right? We know from GCN does science tests that wider tyres are faster off-road as well as being more comfortable, which is why the latest gravel bikes, rightly so, are coming with ever wider tyre clearance because that's what people want.
Yeah, it's clear that the trend for gravel bikes is for tyre clearance to get even wider, isn't it? Particularly, as we've talked about before, races like Unbound, they're considered to be the proving ground, and the fastest races there are using, what, 50s and above?
Yeah, at least, yeah. And it's not just tyre clearance either, because the geometry of the bikes is evolving as well to make gravel bikes more confidence-inspiring so you can ride faster in more technical terrain.
Yeah. I think also typically we're seeing longer top tubes, I think,
paired
with shorter stems and more relaxed head tube angles.
Exactly, yeah, which does make sense, but the bikes don't feel kind of agile and responsive like road bikes anymore. To get the same sense of ride feel, you have to go quicker.
Like you would do on a mountain bike.
Like on a mountain bike. Mm. And here's the thing, right? So if gravel bikes continue on their current trajectory, they will evolve ever closer to mountain bikes, won't they? Which is fine, except if they get too close, suddenly they start looking like they might not compare too well.
No, it's something we've pointed out, I think, before, isn't it? The entry point for a carbon gravel bike is about 700 to 800 quid more than an equivalent carbon mountain bike. So if we take Trek, who we've been just talking about as an example, the Checkpoint SL5 is 3,199, whereas the Pro Calibre 9.5 is 2,499.
That's right, yeah. One being their entry-level carbon gravel bike, the other being their entry-level carbon mountain bike. Now, because no one wants to buy seemingly hardtail mountain bikes at the minute either, you can get some killer discounts. So that 2,499, probably almost get 50% off.
Well, yeah, because at the moment, I guess the hardtail is the sort of unfashionable, forgotten bike, isn't it? Beloved by lots of people like us.
Yes.
As in, you know, just gradually approaching middle exercise. But not many of those hardtails are currently being sold.
They're not, are they? Now, the comparison isn't quite as simple as we're making out at the minute, is it? Given that the mountain bike is 3 kilos heavier than the gravel bike, which might not dramatically affect speed all the time, but it's certainly going to make it feel way less responsive to ride, isn't it? Plus, the gravel bike has electronic gears, which are clearly more expensive.
But the gravel bike does not come with suspension for the time being, or a dropper seat post. You know what? I think you're wrong about gravel bikes evolving into extinction.
What?
I think the weight is a critical distinction between gravel and mountain bike.
Okay.
Yes, you can get super light mountain bikes, and I guess you can get heavier gravel bikes, but typically there are a good couple of kilos between them, I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah.
Changing geometry or adding wider tyres isn't going to make a meaningful difference to that, and it'll keep the ride feel of the two quite distinct.
I mean, that is a fair point.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe then it's not the gravel bike that's going to become extinct, but a hardtail?
Why does any bike have to become extinct?
Well, all right, they don't need to become extinct. There is a lot of choice out there at the minute, if we're being honest, right? There's a different type of bike, seemingly, for every type of riding, speed, road surface, whatever you can imagine. So one less type of bike would not be a bad thing.
No.
However, as we've said, hardtails are great as well, aren't they?
Fantastic.
And they are, like, cheap. I don't know. I guess what I'd hoped, right, is that gravel bikes might evolve to a point where they end up cheaper, like mountain bikes. Maybe there's a way of making a gravel bike less expensive, basically. So you get all the performance advantages of it, but you can just save $800.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. I mean, the other thing we talked about at the coffee machine, people are going to be gutted. They couldn't just join us in person at the coffee machine
with
this chat.
Maybe we should do a live GCN live from the coffee machine.
Viral, surely. But I was saying that, you know, where I live in the New Forest National Park, there are an abundance of gravel tracks, which when I was a mountain biker growing up, was rubbish because I wanted to take my mountain bike down single track. You know, it was hardtail at the start, didn't even have suspension, but it felt more capable than just the gravel tracks. I wanted something slightly gnarlier. And so I was frustrated.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
but then,
you did.
When gravel bikes came, the New Forest is absolutely perfect. There's an abundance. There's kilometres and kilometres on end of great gravel riding there. But as gravel bikes evolve to having maybe suspension forks, much wider tyres, as they become more capable, are we not just going to get frustrated again in the New Forest that this bike's capable of more than the gravel roads I'm riding on?
Well, yeah, I do think this is something else, right, in that there is a risk that by making gravel bikes ever more capable, that maybe we'll end up losing a little bit of the something that made them so special in the first place, right? So yeah, I think my plea to manufacturers is not to make them into mountain bikes, to keep them feeling like, you know, you've got that kind of slightly illicit thrill when you take them to places they're not supposed to go, because they are ultimately still like road bikes, like cyclocross bikes.
Yeah.
I don't want that to go. I want it still to feel good on the road and then to feel good off-road.
I think I would agree with that. Whether or not our viewers do, it's a different matter. So as ever, please get involved in the comment section down below, particularly if you're an age like us, approaching middle age, as I said, where you did start off or at least do some mountain biking, let's say in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, all right.
Before cross-country full suspension became a real thing.
All two of you out there. get involved. Gravel bike versus mountain bike. Are they getting too close? Which one would you choose? And is there a risk that gravel bikes will become extinct? I sort of feel like maybe there isn't, having had that conversation.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, all right.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with news of dancing.
Bear with us. Let's Dance is the Slovakian version of Strictly Come Dancing, or Dancing with the Stars, and one of the contestants there this year is Peter Sagan.
That's right, three-time world champ, seven-time green jersey winner Peter Sagan is going to be hitting the dance floor. Or, as the man himself put it on Instagram, soon you will be able to see me switch from sprinting to disco.
You tried to do it. You started with a Sagan accent, then you decided against it, didn't you?
I was going to go for it. What was it that the commentator Carlton Kirby once said? He's got a voice like a jar full of angry wasps. I can't do it justice, no, quite frankly. No.
Anyway, I'm already looking forward to the Sagan Samba. VPN is locked and loaded, ready to tune into that. Odds on Mark Cavendish joining Strictly Come Dancing this autumn?
Well, he has got a history in ballroom dancing, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, so you heard it here first. Moving on to some new bikes and kit now, starting with Orbea's that we've been providing to Lotto in 2025. So this is the Team Orca.
Ooh.
And this is the Team Orca Aero.
Very stealth.
Yeah, they are stealth.
No, I'm a fan of that. Meanwhile, there is a new bike and kit for Tom Pidcock. So you'll all remember that he broke his contract with Ineos. Makes it sound quite bad, doesn't it?
Well, they
mutually agreed for him to change his contract or end it. Anyway, cut long story short, he's now at Q36.5, and their kit looks like this in 2025. What do you think, Dan?
I described it on the Racing News Show yesterday as classy, but not particularly exciting.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay,
I think, I think that's probably something.
You're still
that
trying to put your own little opinion in, but you couldn't think of one.
No, I was going to think, would I wear it? And then, of course, the answer is no. I wouldn't wear any Pro-Team replica kit because I don't want to be covered on sponsors.
I think classy but boring is right up your street.
Yeah, except I don't want all his sponsors on my jersey.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Pidcock's move obviously also means he's switching his road bike from Pinarello to Scott. And the model that he'll mainly be riding, we understand, this year is the Addict RC, a bike we actually spoke about a few weeks ago here on the GCN show. At 5.9 kilograms, they're going to obviously have to add some weight to it to meet the UCI's minimum requirement, which is 6.8.
Yeah. Still reeling from classy but boring. I feel like you might have actually sort of like gone a bit close to the bone there.
Nail,
eh?
Head.
Anyway, it is going to be interesting to see how Pidcock gets on.
Oh, totally.
Year, isn't it? There will be a lot of attention on him, that's for sure. Apparently, he's ruled out racing the Tour de France this year.
He has.
Which is probably just as well, because I can't imagine his team will actually get selected for it.
Maybe that's why he ruled it out.
Yes, I think so.
Anyway, from new bikes to old, Mr. John Canning has been scouring eBay, as he likes to do in his spare time, and came across a vintage Condor bike. The price tag, £26,000.
That's pretty punchy, isn't it?
Punchy, yeah.
The reason for this price tag is that its former owner is Mick Jagger. The Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones lead singer. It's a lovely looking bike, but I don't think I would part for that with that much money, even if I was a gazillionaire.
Same. No, I wouldn't either. It's not the only bike that they've got for sale, though. I was actually looking at the other items they've got. It's quite the collection that somebody's got out there.
Yeah, go on.
In Bonn, in Germany. One glaring omission, I noticed.
What's that?
In this collection. There's a distinct lack of 11-speed Campagnolo Super Record cassette size. So I think we could be quids in over the next few years.
Yes. Undoubtedly, we could probably retire.
Well, I might be able to. I think you should auction yours off to raise money for my ride, the Ambitious About Autism charity.
That's a good shout, actually.
Ah, good.
Yeah, go on then. Right.
You blackmailed me, so I thought I'd blackmail you.
Yeah, no, nice. Totally. I'm happy to let one of my Campagnolo cassettes go. All right, I'll set it up for next week. I feel like I need to go home and just make sure that it's still in tip-top condition.
Yeah, you better get some cleaning.
Yeah, exactly. 11 to 23. Well, maybe Alex could make a video about how to clean a vintage cassette.
He totally could. He showed me some Campagnolo hubs earlier. He's done a blooming good job of them, I've got to say. I'm not sure what video that's for, but stay tuned.
Yeah, all right. So, anyway.
I reckon that could be a couple of hundred quid towards a very good cause.
Absolutely.
We get it cleaned up and we do a good job of advertising it.
Yeah, because not only would you be effectively donating to this very, very good cause, you would also get an 11-speed Campagnolo cassette. So there you go.
It's like an investment.
Yeah, okay, all right. Anyway, How close are you getting to your 15,000?
I am just over half. I'm getting towards £8,000 now, I think.
Okay, all right. Because I liked Connor's idea on the show last week of equating the fundraising to how far through the ride
I didn't like that at all.
Okay, well, I think it's about 115 miles into it. Yeah, so just 105 miles still to go. This is going to be the hard bit, isn't it? Mm. The final 105 miles. So, yes, £7,000 still to go. Mm. Please, we would love for you to donate. First of all, it's an incredibly worthy cause, isn't it? Ambitious about autism. Secondly, we'll get to see Dan doing his longest ever bike ride. Yeah. Yes, which is currently is the Tour of Flanders.
Yeah, 260 kilometres versus 350. Oh. And I'm not even back on my bike yet.
Are you not?
No.
Oh, don't leave it too late, mate. Training for a 13-hour ride will take some preparation.
I've done that same calculation. So 350 kilometres, I worked out, if you do it in 13 hours, it's still 27 kilometres per hour average.
And that's like moving average, not including stoppages.
Exactly, yes. It's crazy. I mean, I didn't calculate things very well at all when you put me on the spot a few weeks back. It should have been £50,000, not 15.
Well, it's £15,000. So if you would like to contribute to the donations, just head to the link in the description. And if you would like to join Dan in watching suffering, there are still a few spots open, aren't there, apparently? So you can take part in the ride from Manchester to London in June. And effectively, yeah, show Dan how it's done.
And don't forget, if you would like to bid on a Campy Super Record cassette, keep your eyes on Si's eBay account.
Oh, yes. There we go. Right, moving on. Now, EF Oatley have put out a list of what's in and what's out for 2025. Nothing too shocking, we should say. Carbs are still in.
Oh, good.
Dairy flat whites are out.
Are they?
Surprise, surprise. Yes. Along with unwashed bikes.
Oh, that doesn't sound too good for you, Si.
No, it doesn't.
Or are your new mudguards keeping your bikes a bit cleaner these days?
Well, I actually, yeah. I mean, they're definitely keeping my rear view mirrors cleaner than they were. But I actually gave the mudguards back to their original owner, Alex. And I've got a set to go on my Orbea Terra, like Connor's.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So yeah, I'm going to have the full bad boys, or the daddy of mudguards. Oh, I can't remember what we call them anyway. Right, moving on.
Mudguards for daddy.
Well, yeah, the big daddy. Big daddies, I think we called them, yeah.
Right.
Which I am not. But I think you could describe Connor safely as big daddy, couldn't you? Right. In other news, Bonnie Too, who's widely regarded as the most powerful woman in cycling, has retired from her role as the chairperson of the Giant Cycling Group.
Yeah, which is a position that she had held since 2017. But before that, she'd held other leadership positions within Giant Group. And it was her that was behind the company's float onto the stock market back in 94, I think it was.
Whoa.
As well as the founding of the Live brand, amongst many other milestones for Giant Group over the last 30 years.
Yeah, without her, there is a very good chance that Giant would not be the world's largest manufacturer of bikes as it is today. So hats off to Bonnie.
Enjoy your retirement. Well deserved.
Should we finish cycling shorts now? We have some news of a brand new giveaway courtesy of indoor training platform Roovy. So up for grabs is an indoor kit bundle comprising of a one-year subscription and Roovy shorts, socks and a jersey.
Fantastic. Entries are now already open. You've got until the 24th of January to get that entry in. There's a link in the description below which gives you all the info that you need. So what we need to do is wish you all the best of luck. Oh, actually, one before we finish cycling shorts, if I can get my words out. Don't forget you can join us on Zwift for a presenter-led branded ride every Wednesday at 6:30 GMT PM, 18:30.
Yeah. Also, the Tour de Zwift is back on as well, which is a cracking challenge for this time of year. The added bonus for you is that if you complete every route, you'll get the ultimate unlock with new in-game kit. So six stages to complete. Might be a good way for you to kickstart your training, Dan.
Do you know what? I might actually do that. It's a very good idea.
Really?
I'm going to do that, yeah. Six stages, that will kickstart my training.
You know, once you've done the six stages, you'll have to carry on, right? That's not...
Yeah, I'll do the last of the six somewhere in mid-June.
Can we say, by the way, about your... Dan actually won a race at the weekend.
Oh, well,
you?
If you'd like to. I mean, it's up to you.
So I came into work this morning. Did you have a good weekend? Yeah, I did have a good weekend. Yeah, I won a race. What? What kind of race? A running race.
Yeah. A 10-mile running race that turned out to be 8.5.
Did everyone know that it was only 8.5 miles?
Well, we were told pre-race that they'd had to reroute it due to icy puddles on the original course.
Oh, so it was an epic. Icy puddles.
Oh, it was an epic, yeah. Oh, it was a real epic that I won.
That, genuinely, I mean, I think that's so blooming cool.
Well, I mean,
people were there racing against you, presumably.
Well, not many, but about 80 or so.
80?
80.
8-0?
In the 10-mile
event. That's a lot of people.
In the 8.5-mile event, as it ended up being. Do you know what? The person that I was with, I felt quite bad because, well, apart from the park run and our 5K on GT, and I've never really done a competitive run since cross-country at school, but the natural cyclist instinct, isn't it, to just sit on the wheel on the foot. So there was this one other guy I was with, pretty much the whole way around, didn't ask me for a turn one, didn't fit the elbow, nothing. And I got to the point, I was telling you about this earlier at the coffee machine,
yeah.
I was like, I'm just a loser, like, literally, because I was quite happy with a second. I was thinking, I'm suffering here. If I can just hold on for a second, I'll be happy. There was no thought in my mind, like, I've got to get the win. I've got the killer instinct. I'm going to get him in the sprint to the line. And then with about 1.5, 2 Ks to go, we saw some lights in the distance, and he turned to me and said, am I hallucinating, or is that the finish there? I was like, no, that's not the finish. You've got to go right there and then left, and it's about a K to go still. And at that point, I knew he'd cracked. So I went to the front for the first time in the entire race, upped the pace a little bit, heard the breathing going into the distance behind me, and I never saw him again until the finish line.
There you go, mate. I love how you say that you haven't got the killer instincts, but you sat on him, slipstreamed for 8 miles until you stuck the knife in.
I later found him on Strava, and he'd done the park run that morning, so I think he was probably a bit tired.
Amateur, why would you do that? What did you win?
I won a massage gun.
Oh, really?
Of course, I've got a massage gun already, so the first thing I did when I got home was look up the retail value of the massage gun. It wasn't quite enough to cover the entry cost.
Oh, my word. Okay. Well, anyway, hats off.
Yeah. I mean, I'm retiring from running now.
Hit the like button to let Lloydy know that he's the man, because that is impressive, mate. It also makes you feel a bit less crap about you killing us all in that GTN video.
Next up, it is hack/bodge of the week. The link you'll need if you want to get involved in this part of the show is globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Or you can find that
link in the description down below. First up this week, this one from Anton Krusher. Found this. Not exactly sure what it is, but you can buy it at the local flea market in Cape Town for 180 rand, which is just under £8.
I mean, I don't know what it is either. Like, it's a saddle mounted above a wheel with... Is that like a roller skate? I literally can't even describe this.
Well, I would describe it as a unicycle balance bike.
It's half a bike, isn't it? The whole front is missing, and then under the bottom bracket, you've basically got a roller skate wheel.
Yeah, skateboard wheels, yeah.
I mean, it looks quite fun. Whether you can steer it or not is another matter.
Mm.
But I mean, I was sort of thinking that this could be quite novel to have as like an office chair, because you could pedal it around the office.
As you pointed out, you can go in a straight line up and down an office.
Well, yeah, maybe there's a way of like steering with your with your saddle.
Just your weight.
Yeah, lean it. Just lean around the corners.
You'd have to get some speed going to be able to lean without counterbalancing.
Well, I mean, I reckon that does look quite quick. For £7.72, 100% I would buy that.
Yeah.
Contraption.
Well, Anton, next time you're at the flea market, buy one, send us a video. I'll be very interested to see it being used.
Well, when you said send, I hope you meant literally send. Just pop it in a box, send it over to the UK. Right, I mean, well, it might cost a bit more than £7.72 to get it here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'd have to offer Anton expenses, I think, for this.
Genuinely, I think we need that in the GCN offices.
All right, get in touch, Anton, on Facebook, and we'll get the ball rolling if you're up for it.
Imagine if we had two. Imagine the races that we could have.
For crikey.
Yeah.
We're going to get him to buy two and send two now. The postage costs are rising, the initial purchase is rising in cost.
I don't even know how to make one.
Are we reserving judgment on this one then until we get it through? Oh, you're already saying it's hack,
yep.
But you want to try anyway. Okay.
Yep, hack.
It's hack from start. It's a bodge from me until I get proven wrong.
Okay, all right. Well, next up then. This one's been sent in from Guillaume. I added some Mylar sheet to the bottom of my shoes. It prevents heat loss and reflects some of the heat back onto my feet during the cold winter months. Is it better than buying a winter pair of shoes? Probably not, but it works.
Wow.
Well, if it does work, then fair play to you. I mean, winter cycling shoes are good, aren't they? I sort of feel like you might need that over the top of your feet as well, wouldn't you?
I expect you could do that as well, Guillaume. I think if it works, I mean, winter cycling shoes are fantastic, but they're a luxury, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
It's another expense in an already expensive sport. So if you can do something similar with your own hack, which is what I'm deeming this one, I'm all for it.
To be fair, I got some gaff tape out the other day and taped over the vents on my road shoes. Yeah, well, I mean, that is an easy hack, isn't it? Literally, those big vents at the front of your shoes, which suck air underneath your toes, which is great most of the year. Mm. But in winter, quick bit of gaffer tape and yoink, away you go.
Done your helmet as well?
No.
Just use your aero one.
Well, I mean, I couldn't tape over the vents because it will get in the way of my rearview mirror. That attaches through the vents.
I'm going to hack with that one.
Yeah, go on then. All right.
Two hacks from Si so far. Next one from Guido Peters. When doing my latest 100Ks of the Rafa 500 festive last year, the whole sole of one of my cycling shoes came loose and was just hanging with a small piece of leather on the back.
Whoa.
As I was effectively doing the last 50Ks, didn't want to stop, started searching for anyone with some tape. A guy trying to help me out had some electrical wire, which allowed me to kind of fix the sole to the shoe and finish the whole 50K surprisingly well. Looks terrible, and I think myself that this looks like a terrible bodge, but it saved the day, so I wanted to share.
Well, at the end of the day, if it's a roadside fix...
then it's a hack.
It is a hack.
I'm saying hack straight away.
If 2 weeks down the line you are still riding around in shoes held together with wire... then I think we're going to have to call it a bodge.
Definitely.
Right? But, yeah, that's anything that gets you home or lets you carry on with your ride is a good one.
You don't want to go home and you've still got 50 to do of your festive 500, do you?
Yeah, that would totally suck. So, there we go. I'm sorry that the sole of your shoe came loose there. That really sucks.
Mm.
Hack then for that one, isn't it?
Hack, yep.
Okie doke. Next up, Alan Parkinson. Shoe cleat replacement. If you want to replace your worn shoe cleats, then first use a Tippex pen to draw around the old cleat. Then it's easy to line up the new one with the old position.
It's an oldie but a goodie, I would say.
It is an oldie but a goodie. Strangely enough, actually, it's quite hard to line them up even when you've used a Tippex pen, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
How?
Well, so I've been doing this for a number of years myself, and every now and then, like, you put your new cleat on, and when you get it lined up with a Tippex, like at the front, and then you look at the back, and it's still not right, so then you tweak it at the back, and then it goes out of line on another bit, and it's, I don't know.
Are you replacing Shimano cleats with look cleats?
Yeah, speed play. No, I don't know. It's just what I've experienced over the years. But, I mean, it's better than nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to give you a much better idea of lining it up than just by eye's view, isn't it?
Well, exactly that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a good one. That's a hack from me as well.
Yeah, all right, hack from me too. Yeah, full house from me today.
Yeah, not from me though, until I see that funny bike at the start.
I can't wait for that.
Right, don't forget, this is the part of the show where you can get involved. We love hacks or bodges and seeing all of yours each and every week. So please, if you've got any at home or that you see out and about, send them on over.
It's time now for Capture Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below the video. We'll pick a winner next week. We'll give you the photo that you need to caption in just a moment, but it's results time, first of all.
It is indeed. Last week's photo was this one of Wout van Aert at the end of a very muddy cyclocross race. For those of you listening in podcast format, you can barely see any of his face because of all the mud splattered over it.
Oh, man, it looks so grim, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? But it makes for epic photos.
Oh, brilliant. We had some banger entries, didn't we, last week. I think I'm going to have to say the win goes to Rye Short 7255. Are we in agreement on that one?
Yeah, it's a good one.
OK. Wouts, want to go grab a pint to celebrate? Nah, mate, I'm already shit-faced.
But
I'm...
That's a good one.
That is good. Yeah, obviously we've had to bleep out the but you can, you know what we're saying.
Bleep after bleep at this point.
That's it, yeah.
Well done, Rye Short, 7255, just in case there are the Rye Shorts in the comment section. Get in touch with us on Facebook with your address. We'll get that bottle sent out to you. This week's photo is this one. Do you know what? I forgot to actually ask who the... Oh, it's Sven Nys. Crikey. I am approaching middle age, aren't I?
You really are.
It's his son. Thibo Nys, recently crowned cyclocross champion of Belgium, 11 years after his dad won his ninth title, believe it or not.
Is it 11 years since Sven won his last one?
Yep.
Well, now I'm feeling middle-aged. Wowzers.
Anyway, he is riding his Trek bike and he's got like one of those shopping trolleys that people beyond middle-aged like to use. Lorraine's got one of those, actually. Genuinely.
And cut!
She has actually got one, which I get it. It does make carrying your shopping home from the shops a lot easier than holding the whole weight in your arms. But it's one of those.
Yeah, backpacks are great. Mm.
Anyway, I will get you started. Look, I know everyone's saying that cycling's got to slow down in the pro peloton, but this is ridiculous.
That's funny, mate.
Thank you.
No, I like that. That is good.
What do you call those things? Like a shopping bag on wheels. There must be a name for them.
Granny trolley?
Probably is, yeah.
I mean, I think they have been adopted by younger people now, but I'm pretty sure they're mainly spotted by grannies.
Yeah, Tebow's only 23 or something, isn't he?
There you go, yeah. They probably don't have them in America, do they? You don't need them because you just drive everywhere.
True.
Yeah. Right then, next up.
Well, no, that's it. You've just got to leave your best caption in the comment section down below.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah. Just before we let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, we picked out quite a lot of our favourite comments, actually, from the last week's worth of videos. We're going to start with a few from underneath last week's show, which was entitled, If You're a Cyclist in 2025, You Need to Do This. Luck 91 wrote in to say, best bit of modern cycling advice? Got to be consistency. For years, I was trapped in an all-or-nothing mindset. Train 100% or stop altogether. My weight yo-yo, my mental state suffered, and cycling felt like pressure instead of joy. The turning point? I committed to riding to work daily, rain or shine. It wasn't about watts or FTP, it was just about showing up. And that consistency changed everything. And I was just saying to you off camera, wasn't I, before we start recording again, this really resonated with me because I've always been a bit all or nothing. Like if I tick all the boxes on my training plan, I was all good. If there's one box left unticked, I'd be like, sod that, it's all gone to, I might do another bleep. And I'd just stop altogether. The diet would go rubbish, the training would go rubbish for a few days before I got back on it and started ticking boxes again. I think that's been the biggest mindset change for me this last few months, is just no particular plan apart from just moving consistently again.
Well, yeah, consistency,
and then you can't
isn't
fail. As long as you keep moving, you're ticking the boxes.
You pretty much do something every day now, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go.
Yeah. So I thought that was a great comment.
Yeah, very good. Very cool. Baby Mech said, if you're going to be a cyclist in 2025, you need to ride a bike. That
very
is it.
Good.
Yeah, fair point, fair point. And then John Strack said, I saw the fake Rafa site and still thought it was too pricey.
Yeah, it was a good comment though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
Underneath, is the worst piece of cycling equipment on the planet? Of course, the rear view mirror that Si tested out. Certainly got you all talking. The first 12 hours, incidentally, that the video went up onto YouTube, there was about a comment every 40 seconds.
Yeah,
or so.
That's cool. There's such a strength of feeling out there about it.
Mm. Blake Goodwin wrote in and said, comments thread just became Google's biggest study on why and how cyclists use mirrors.
I mean, it's fair to say, a lot of you, unlike me, do feel that mirrors add to your safety and your situational awareness, which is great. As I said in the video, like, I don't want anyone to stop using their mirrors. It was more just that I wanted to try, and my experience of them didn't change my mind, nor, I'm afraid, did reading the comments either. Like, I think it's just one of those things. You either really want to know what's coming up behind you, or you're not that fussed, really. No. I think it's as simple as that, isn't it?
I think it probably comes from our racing days when there wasn't much behind us, doesn't it? All we need to do is look in front.
Well, that is true, yes.
I hope you had good eyesight as the trail end of the bunch went off into the distance.
One of the most popular comments was that at the GCN presenter, only Alex needs a rear view mirror to watch us all getting dropped.
Very good.
And actually, yeah, Santa TV said that. I've used a mirror in the past to make sure that anyone I'm riding with is not getting left behind. But again, I mean, I'm just like, well, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to turn around in a couple of, you know, in a minute, and be like, oh, they've gone. Oh, I'm just going to ease up now. Like, anyway, there we go.
I like this one from Duke Kaboom. Best advice, I was advised to get a mirror. Never looked back. Very good, Duke Kaboom. Enjoyed that one.
Oh, amazing, yeah. Right then, underneath Ollie's video about the biggest lie about weight loss and exercise, Frankie said, your favourite fitness influencer. A shot of Dan Lloyd doing lat pull-downs.
Steve M, but neurologist here. Regular exercise reduces, one, cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and stroke, of course, but also, two, 20 or so different types of cancer, and three, is the most effective way to prevent dementia by about 50 to 60%. So the way I see it, by avoiding all those malaise, you'll have enough time to exercise the 9 to 10 hours per week required to see the modest weight benefit. Thanks, mate. Best video I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's cool. A lot of people loving it, and a lot of really amazing personal stories as well, weren't there? Matt Berkey is just one that we've pulled out. I've been cycling for years, but wasn't losing weight and even getting slightly fatter. Last year, I added walking 10,000 steps a day, weightlifting, quit drinking, and tracked calories. That plus cycling 100 to 200 miles a week, I ended up losing 70 pounds in 2024. That is a lot of, well, stuff, actually. It's not just exercise, is it? But also quitting drinking and watching what you eat.
Yeah, that's a big life change, isn't it? Lifestyle change.
Fair play to you, Matt.
Yeah, well done, Matt.
Absolutely.
Right, in terms of what we've got coming up for you on the channel this week, on Thursday, I think it's Connor, this one, isn't he? Running through the 10 best climbs in the world.
In the world. That's right. Looking forward to seeing that one. On Saturday, Connor again. Connor volunteered in the name of science to do an FTP test every day for a week to see what happens. Now, something that Jerry Powers actually subjected himself to many years ago for GCN. Yeah, Connor fancied having a pop at it. So he's not finished yet as we're filming this, but it's been blooming interesting watching him. He's an anomaly, that man, isn't he? I think enough said.
It's going to be a very interesting video.
Very interesting, yeah.
And on Sunday, listen to this title. We had a bike stolen, and this is what happened next.
That's right. So I've been doing a little bit of digging, a bit of research, and there's some unbelievable things happen when your bike gets nicked. So yeah, we wanted to do a video exploring that, and in so doing, we also had a bike stolen.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit sad.
I know, yeah, it's what, but also, will make for a very, very interesting video.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So many people watching this will have unfortunately had their bike stolen from out and about or from their home or whatever, including Si.
Yeah.
And it's so aggravating and annoying. It's like, where do they go? We've got a few answers for you, haven't we?
Oh, my God. When one of mine got nicked, I spent, like, every day I would check Facebook Marketplace, eBay, Gumtree, twice a day, and then after 4 months, I was like, I've got to quit this. Like, it's gone. It's gone.
Let's hope Mick Jagger's checking eBay for that old Condor that got stolen many years ago.
Can you imagine that? I'm not buying that back. 26 grand. I've got a feeling he didn't pay for it in the first place. It's got Mick Jagger on the top tube.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Probably got trade price at least.
Well, so John Cannings did say that he was in touch with Condor Cycles and they said that it was genuine, verified.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's quite something. Yeah.
Yeah, what a coup for Condor. My word.
Right, I think that brings us to the end of this week's show. Hope you enjoy the videos that are coming up on the channel this week. But Si and I will be back this time next week after our coffee machine chat.